One, two, three, four.
Bust it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again to another Sack Dugga episode. This is your host, Dante Morris. I'm sitting alongside with Todd Sullivan. Todd, how you doing?
Doing real well. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Pretty good. You know, our third down next is basketball, baseball game. Should be in real soon. But I just want to go ahead and just give a little recap of what's been going on, you know, over the last couple weeks. You know, for a lot of people, if you guys didn't know, we released a new website, MorrisLeague.com. Got a new look, new design. You'll find all our scores, updates, pictures, sign-up sheets. Everything has been upgraded. So, you know, got a new look to a new website. We've just been, you know, putting interesting stories out there. So, for everybody that's, you know, listening, you guys can find these episodes on MorrisLeague.com under the podcast tab. You'll be able to look at and research all our past episodes as well. But Todd, how's everything been going with you?
Oh, not bad. Looking forward to this wonderful weekend. A lot of baseball going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and our Sacramento M's, you know, that's the reason why Dominic's not here. We've been playing a lot of games lately. In the last 10 days, we had 12 games in the last 10 games. And, you know, we're going everywhere from Redding to coming back from Marin. So right here at Sac City just yesterday. So it's been a lot of baseball. We've been playing with a lot of Sac M's. We're gearing up for our Sac Open Tournament, which is going to happen July 3rd through 6th over at Arencombe High School. You know, we found them as a host. And we'll have eight tremendous teams that's in our tournament, four from Sacramento, four from outside of Sacramento. And it should make for some good competition, good Sacramento baseball, and it should be some good collegiate baseball as well.
Yeah, everything that's going on, I think, you know, tournament time, especially for 4th of July, is real big here in Sacramento for all ages of baseball. And for this to be our inaugural 4th of July tournament for Morris League and the Sacramento M's, and being able to get some outstanding teams that have been established for a while now and have entered several 4th of July tournaments to be able to come and join ours, it's a great contribution and kind of a... put us at ease, let us know that, you know, people know about us and people know how we run things and how professional we are and, you know, what we strive for to be the best. And it seems like some of the best are coming over to our tournament.
Oh yeah, I can't wait for it. I'm excited. You know, once again, we have eight teams. I'm just gonna go ahead and name off and list them. We have pro player baseball, best speed baseball, NBO, and we have a Sac M that's representing the Sacramento side. And we have the Salina Rounders, we have the Washington Manor Ports. And we also have, that's our last team. Oh, we have the Academy Baseball. So it's a lot of good teams that's joining. Be able to look out for the bracket. We have a website on MorrisLeague.com. We also have its own individual website on sacopen.weebly.com. So stay tuned for that. We're going to put more content, directions, and, you know, where you can find the field and how many teams are joining. So, you know, now that we got that information out the way, our topic today, we're going to talk about no-hitters. No-hitters is real common in baseball over the last 2 years, and just as recently, Clayton Kershaw threw a no-hitter for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So, Todd, I just want to bring up, you know, over the last 2 years, there's been a lot of no-hitters thrown between pitchers, and when you see one on TV, it's almost second nature. It's almost like it's every day. What do you think attribute to the frequent no-hitters in today's game, and why do you think it happens so often now?
Well, it's always been said that, you know, good pitching beats great hitting, you know, any day, you know. And, you know, I am a pitcher, so I know a lot of people are saying, you know, you're being biased right now. But it's pretty much, you know, how it works. Best pitching is going to be, you know, good hitting, you know, any time of the week. And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, even on our last podcast, you know, you guys are talking about the long ball and you like those exciting games. And most people, they want that DH in there for that. But, you know, recently there's, you know, like you said, there's been tons of no-hitters. Some, you know, combined no-hitters as well, even a couple of perfect games, you know, in 2012. But I think it just, you know, goes to show that, you know, there's lots of teams out there, you know, in the American League as well as in the National League, and they always base their lineup, you know, especially 1 through 5 with power hitting and combined hitting and trying to get guys on base and, you know, manufacturing runs. And to be able to throw as many no-hitters that have been going on recently, I think is showing a change in baseball for, you know, for time to come right now. I really think small ball is going to start coming back in play if pitching is going to start, you know, continuing like this.
I think so, because if you look around like 98, 99, you know, around 2000, around that time, it was astronomical amount of home runs being hit. And a lot of players, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, Greg Vaughn, a lot of them guys were just hitting long balls. And now it seems like this turn of the decade, it's the pitchers, you know, throwing hard, throwing no hitters. Now, I don't want to really stretch out that far, but we've seen how all the long ball went with the steroid era, you know, and how that resulted to steroids. Do you think this somehow is related to pitchers now? Where the pitchers is doing so good right now that, you know, maybe 5 years from now, it'll be another steroid era? I mean, I just want to stretch, but I mean, we saw that with home runs, but do you think this could happen with pitchers?
Well, you know, let's don't be foolish now, because a lot of those people that were taking steroids were pitchers. They weren't just hitters, and the pitchers were taking it, you know, just, you know, for injury purposes and staying healthy. When you looked at who tested positive in minor leagues, there were more pitchers than hitters.
Yeah.
You know, so who's to say if, you know, steroids didn't have something to do with the no hitters? You might as well throw that out there too, because, you know, just going down off the list, you know, you were saying 99 and 98 back when those the home run ball was taking effect. Still, in 98 through 99, you had 5 no-hitters. If you want to throw in, you know, 97 through 99, you can add on another 3. So it does seem that throughout the years, there's been more and more no-hitters going on. But when you look at all the draft picks, especially when you look at the first-year draft eligibility when it comes to the major league players scouting high school kids, we're talking 33% were pitchers in the draft. So, you know, coaches and owners are trying to protect their team for years to come, and they realize, and it's been this way for years, is, you know, let's stack our house up with pitchers, because if the pitchers turn out to be what we think they're going to be, then it's an asset for every level in our club. If they hit and miss and have potential and show good signs, then they're great trade bait to get your utility guys and to get your hitter, to get your position. So, you know, pitchers right now are the hot commodity and have been for about probably the past 5 years.
That's true. Yeah, Dominic Moore is just walking the door, joining us. Dominic, join us right now. We're just having a debate about pitchers. You know that Clint Kershaw is still not hitter for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I would call that almost a perfect game. You know, Hanley fingers, and that was like dang near a perfect game. But yeah,
so we're just bringing it up, you know, how pitchers in the last couple of years were throwing no hitters and how it became common, and we just want to hear your take of, you know, what do you think attributes to that of having no hitters coming commonly?
I think I heard the tail end of you saying that probably have to do with the slowdown of steroids among hitters. But I think baseball is just like history. It repeats itself. It's a cycle. It's a dead ball era. We had some of the greatest pitchers ever. Then you had live ball era where it changed up the ball. I think I just think the way the game is played now, it's to a pitcher advantage. You know, where we saw a couple years ago where the Astros threw against the Yankees in a first staff bullpen no hitter, you know. It's just power on every spot. There's not only just the starter and the reliever, there's the setup man, there's the closer, there's a middle reliever. So it's leaving the starting five as like the creme de la creme, the crop. So, you know, it's no surprise to me that, you know, these players like Holiday, Kershaw, all these great players are showing up.
Yeah, that's but cool. You know, what's real interesting, the players that you mentioned, you know, the most recent ones are the younger kids. And plus, the good thing about Kershaw is, you know, when he first came back, he had his elbow surgery, and they were, you know, very content on trying to get him up and running. He didn't have very many minor league starts, and when he came back, is what he when he used to dominate and earn runs in the first 4 to 6 innings, you know, was a little bit of a change. They started hitting a little bit. His ERA in the first 4 to 6 innings went up, so he was kind of, for the first time I saw him getting a little bit frustrated. So I think this, you know, no hitter for him kind of realized, hey, you know, I still have it, you know, I had to work worth. Yeah. I didn't Lewis, and I lose it. So I think, you know, he's going to be able to, you know, to continue on, fulfill his contract since he signed for almost $300 million. And, but, you know, what you know, I know I'm one of the elders here, but what, if you actually look at the no-hitters that have been pitched, there's some senior citizens out there that have been pitching some no-hitters in the past couple years, too. So it's just not all those young guys either.
Yeah, I mean, I think almost a no-hitter is kind of like a lucky chance in the lottery. I mean, of course, the guy's got to be skilled, but a lot of times the guys just wake up and have stuff, and the pitchers and the batters just be off. So, you know, I think a lot of times it's a lucky draw. But just switch topics a little bit. You know, I've been looking at a lot of baseball lately. I've been seeing the multi-year play. I've been seeing national league play. And to me, it seems like national baseball, almost 100%, is played better than American League baseball. To the exception of Oakland. But, you know, you look at the Dodgers, look at the Cincinnati Reds, look at some of these teams that play ball where the score is just 3-2, you know, 1-1, 2-1, low-scoring game. You're seeing a lot of balls, you know, being hit on the ground, a lot of steals. Look at the American League game, you might have a 12-3 or a 9-2, you know, ball game almost every night. What do you guys think the big gap between National League play and American League play? Because I see the gap is kind of going
far. It's definitely the mentality. You know, I would say like in 04, 05, 06, like American League was really leaping beyond the National League in terms of power hitting, you know. But you're starting to see that shift more, you know. You start to see better pitching in the National League. And you start to see really, like, managers, like, really doing their thing. Managers really showing off their assets and their skills and using all their players, you know, more frequently than the American League. So I say, yeah, it definitely has to do with the designated hitter. You know, you have double switching. You have a lot more situation where the coaches could use that to their advantage. And it garners, like, great play. You know, defense is good and pitching is solid.
Yeah, well, yeah. Small ball isn't just offense. It's also defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see in the National League where coaches will bring in a lefty for a certain lefty just for one batter, you know, and now he's back on the bench. He's not going to be used anymore. You'll have a, you know, situational guy, you know, a certain righty coming in for a certain lefty. You know, you see that a lot in the National League, plus double switches in the American League. You hardly ever see them bringing somebody in from the bullpen just for one or two batters. They're the traditional, hopefully I can get 6 to 7 innings out of my guy. We can get a couple of setups, middle relief, then setup, and then finish him out with our closer. But I think, as you can see, even the American League right now, a lot of teams, you know, the A's struggled in the beginning of the season with these closers. So it's going to be real interesting where people are going to be finishing up, because you look at a lot of teams at the top of the board that have been on losing streaks lately, and it actually was, you know, these games are being lost in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning.
That's real interesting. You know, me, just being a fan of baseball, like, I want to see more steals, you know. I want to see, I find myself watching a lot of baseball, but then at the same time, you know, a World Cup game, soccer over a Wednesday night baseball game.
But that's only every 4 years, you know. That's like the Olympics. So, you know, the only soccer, football, yeah, I get excited about, you know, really is the World Cup. You know, I do appreciate the Mexican League, but you know, the World Cup, you know, every 4 years, that's just, you know, something exciting to look forward to. So if you're changing the channel from baseball to the World Cup, I understand, but you know, if it's MSL or something like that, I'd be a little bit afraid, man.
Yeah, I think the stealing is kind of like a lost art, you know, among baseball. I look at that kind of like the running back position in football.
Okay.
It's like, it's only effective if you have that Billy Hamilton, that D. Gordon, like those special players that could really take it and make a difference. The way I see it, I don't see stolen basing as a necessary tool for offense anymore. I always see, you know, Billy Ball, or I see just, you know, just trying to couple hidden runs. But in terms of stealing as a skill, it seemed like it's drifting away from the game. All right, am I wrong?
No, I know you're right, and part of that is because so many teams just want left-handed pitchers. It's not just because of their loop, it's not just because of their delivery, and their, you know, being able to be universal with the lefty, they can do a lot more than a right-handed pitcher. But for years, you know, even now, I'm watching baseball, and last night I saw several balks when there was somebody on first base, but they let that left leg, you know, that right front leg go. And so you have people, when there's somebody left in the box, their front foot is right at the apron. You know, you get a right-handed pitcher in the box, and their left foot is right on the corner of the apron, you know, so that's 3 more feet. So I really think it has to do with a lot more left-handed pitchers, with the umpires not calling the box when they should, because the way, you know, as far as I know, when that foot and knee starts to come forward, you can't throw over. But if you look at those lefties, the way that they have that foot, they're cheating, and they're close every single time, and so the guys just can't get that jump off the lefties. And when you look at Hamilton, he's the only guy that'll steal. He's like 60-40 lefty righties when he's stealing, but everybody else, most of the stolen bases are coming off right-handed pitchers.
Yeah, like I just want to see a game where a game is decided by stolen base, where a guy can get that position.
World Series was won by a stolen base. Boston Red Sox 2004, right? 2004. Yeah, Roberts.
I want to see that like on an everyday basis. You know, it seems like a lot of guys go through the motions. If you don't get a hit, you got tomorrow. But like, I want to see it where it's an exciting game, down to the wire. Everybody into the game, stolen base. And like, that's the goodness of baseball. It's a home run.
Yeah, and that's what makes the College World Series so great, because how many times have you seen the number 3 and number 4 hitter bunt just to get the guy over?
Yeah.
You know, we don't, you know, Major League Baseball doesn't do that anymore. It used to, but not anymore.
Do you guys think the game has been slowing down? I mean, now you got the replay. You got it was a call actually in Pittsburgh about the replay, about a guy stepping on home.
Games are 3.5 hours now. You know, that's like the average time of a Major League Baseball game. It's
almost a full 30 minutes longer.
Yeah. And it's crazy because you still have TV timeouts, you know, in between innings are longer. 7-inch stretches a little longer. And just, it's a little bit of a drag sometimes for – I could see it for like a common sports fan if they want to get into baseball. Like, I could see the difficulties of it. You know, if they got to sit around and dedicate 3.5 hours at a time to see if they want to go that way, I could easily see them going to soccer, basketball, or even football. Believe it or not, soccer is not that long of a sport.
Nah, soccer is exciting. You got 90 minutes, you got one break in between, and it's straight to action. You know, baseball is like you see it on TV. Go swimming, you know, go watch a movie, come back, and you're in the fourth inning. You know, it's like the game is just going to be on TV. But, you know, what do you think would be better?
What about the Toronto game the other night? Did you guys watch that when they were down by 9 runs?
I did not see that, but that was going to be a good point. It's like nothing compares to, you know, because baseball, it's a story. Like, you never know what the outcome is going to be. It could go for 3 hours, or it could go for 7 hours. You know, it could go, you don't know who's going to win. It could be a blowout leading up, and then the home team could come out. Because, like, the parody and the story of baseball in terms of entertainment is really second to none, but it just getting those fans hooked in to see it, you know?
And you can't blame the American League on that, because that was an interleague game. That was a Braves.
What is up with that? What is, like, it's no more interleague. It's just whatever.
It kind of is.
When they first started, it would be just before the All-Star break, would start interleague. There'd be 2 weeks of interleague. Uh-huh. Then you have the All-Star break. You come back in, you do the other half of interleague, and then you finish out the season. Yeah. The past couple years, you know, like even this year, opening day was an interleague game.
Yeah,
you know, so I just think, you know, because of interleague, the scheduling conflict, trying to get all the teams equally matched. Once you get your division locked down and you get all that part of the scheduling done, you know, I can see where the difficulty will be with this interleague. I really think it should go back to, you know, the middle 4 weeks of the season, because that way, you know, you have just before the All-Star break, you can kind of see what guys are doing what, get a feel for them just before the All-Star game. And then after the All-Star break, you know, you finish up with, you know, the Central's being able to take part. And then that just, you know, once it comes to the World Series, you know, you had time to look at guys in the middle of the season. Once you start doing it throughout the whole year, is it really the National League, American League when it comes to the playoffs? It doesn't feel like it. I know it is. Just to me, it doesn't feel like it.
Actually, to me, I don't mind it. Only why I don't mind it because baseball for so long has been stamped with this traditional. They always did something a certain way. But I can see now this year, you know, they're trying to mix things up. They're trying to have it. But the only thing now is, like, us as fans, we don't know the schedule because, you know, we're so used to one thing as opposed to other. But I do agree, like, baseball do need to shake it up a little bit. Now, it could hurt the players, but as a fan, you know, if you got two teams that's your favorite team and they playing, you know, maybe 2 weeks into the season as opposed to 4 weeks in the middle, it could be kind of exciting from a money standpoint.
Yeah, but as a coach, it's a nightmare because, you know, if you're a National League guy, you coach a certain way, but if you're interleaguing in an American League park, you're now playing American League rules. So you got your lineup is totally different. Your thought process, what your intent throughout the game is, how you respond to certain action is totally different. But when the American League, you know, comes over to the National Park, I think it's a little bit easier for them to make that adjustment. The only thing they lose is that DH and their pitcher has to hit. But, you know, it's amazing how the National Leagues, because they don't have the DH, you know, you'll see, okay, who are we going to throw in as a DH? You know, you'll see scrappers out there, you know, DHing and stuff just because, and that's why the American League, to me, wins more of the interleague games because it just benefits the American League style. I think that's why I think they need to get rid of American through interleague play. But, you know, I am a traditionalist. I want them to get rid of the DH, too. So, you know, maybe I'm just way too old school and I got to open my mind a little bit. But, you know, I can see how it affects the National League more than the American League.
Have you seen a trend lately for National League teams batting their pitcher in the eight hole? Have you seen that? Atlanta does that.
St. Louis does that a lot.
A lot of guys can hit. A lot of pitchers can hit in the National League.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to see they putting that second lead off now in a nice spot. And, I'm starting to see. And then I see a lot of pinch hitting, too, from pitchers. Not a lot, but more common, like late in the game, extra in for a pinch hitter. I'm seeing a lot of pitchers come in. It's kind of refreshing.
Now, do you guys think the format of the game need to change? Because you think, like we was talking about earlier, how the game could go from 3 hours to 7 hours. You got to think in old times, you know, when the game started up.
I hope you don't mean, like, format from, like, 3 outs to 2 outs or from...
No, not changing the rules, but maybe, you know, how they have the check-in of, like, the replay. Maybe if you have guys, instead of taking 5 minutes to get back up to bat on a 2-1 count, maybe just have a rule where they stay up in the box.
A time limit for batters?
Just to kind of speed the game.
Shot clock.
Something. If you look at a guy, if he's 0-2, he's going to get in his mind. He's going to walk out there. He's going to give a dap to the coach. He's going to come back in the box. He's going to do his whole thing. 5 minutes later, he's ready to hit.
But how would you
I think it's
that?
The umps.
Have the fall on the umps?
No, I think the umps is the biggest problem for the delay of the game. Because there are strike zones.
Yeah.
Okay, because, you know, like my good buddy, I played Little League with him, Mr. Darling, you know, Ron Darling, he's a great guy, loved the guy. He's been a National League umpire for 20-plus years. Every time he's on, I make sure I watch the game, and he was behind the plate the other night. I loved his strike zone. See, if everybody's strike zone was like that, games would be popping. And then I watched him umpire yesterday, and it was, you know, it's only 2 week difference from when he was behind the plate and last, and pitches that were strikes, he was calling them balls. And, you know, I'd say every inning, you're getting at least two guys going the full count on both sides. And once that starts adding up, and then, you know, catchers and pitchers get frustrated and you're not going to give them that black painted stripe, you know, like Smoltz used to get all the time. And you're going to continue to take every batter to 2-2, 3-2, 3-1. The umpires really have a lot to do with it. That's why when, you know, Fox 40, at first it used to bug me when you would see the strike location, K zone, you know, and they're like, oh, he just called that a ball, and that was right on the stripe, you know, or he called that a strike, and that was, you know, two balls out, you know. Right. They should think about going, you know, I'd say in preseason, go electronic, you know, have an umpire be back there to call plays at the plate. But there's ways electronically where if the ball hits a certain zone, it's going to beep, it's going to click. It, let that call balls and strikes and see how fast the game's going preseason. I guarantee you it's going to be two hours, 15 minutes.
I was actually thinking about that, too. Like, you know, let the pay zone call it. But we see this year how replay been going and how a lot of coaches don't like it. Just imagine if a pitcher figure out, if you go left low and you hit that spot that the beep, like, find some type of glitch in the system, how they could kind of use it or take advantage.
A little laser from the outfield.
I still think that human element going to kick in. It's still going to be managers disputing it, you know, like, but, I mean, that's one step closer. But in terms of your replay, it's going to get better. You know, it's the first couple of years. Yeah, they're gonna have a way to speed it up and make the game better. I wanted to say one more point about the interleague matchup. Was one point I had. It seems like interleague these days is just another thing. You know, it's like I got one point I was gonna make.
I was excited when San Francisco played against Boston. Where iconic teams.
Yeah, like the Yankees play at San Francisco at PAC. AT&T.
You know, those type of games you want to see, but like when you have something, you know, like the White Sox and the Cubs, or you have something like, you know, like something that's pretty typical, Giants, A's, you know, like some rivalries that you can see, but like I want to see a team that would never play against each other have an opportunity to play against each other.
Okay, so did you go see the Yankees when they came out and played the Giants when they came?
Do you think
it was a money draw? Is it working for the league? I mean, because I think the reason why they did this is to bring more money in and to bring fans to the ballpark. You know, like for years, you know, the only time you can see the Yankees play is when they're playing in Oakland. And, you know, we benefit from having a National League and an American League team in the same area. Right. But when you look at the Dodgers or the Padres, something like that, you know, they're not getting the Derek Jeters and, you know, the elite Hall of Famers, you know. And so for me as a baseball purist, you know, that's the only thing I liked about it. It's like, man, I get to finally see Derek Jeter come, you know. He would have never came to my area or whoever, you know. That to me, that was the main purpose. But it was definitely to get the box office numbers up. And when the box office numbers up, every major league team owner benefits, not the players, the owners.
Oh yeah. Man, so much great talking. Like we just kind of run it down in time a little bit. But real quick, Dominic, gonna go ahead and just give a Sack Elms update about the season and everything's going. Just real quick about the schedule, where people can find the games at.
Yeah, we're about just a little under halfway through the season. We got games going all week long. This Wednesday and Thursday, and every pretty much weekday. You could check out our schedule on morrisleague.com. Click on the Sack M's tab. And also, in 2 weeks, we'll be all squared away for the Sacramento Open first inaugural tournament with 8 teams in the league from July 3rd through 6th. So it should be a great event all the way around.
There we go. For more information on where you guys can find this episode, you know, you go to morrisleague.com under podcast tab. You'll be able to post up everything and make sure you guys tune in. So, for Dominic Morris, Ty Sullivan, I'm Dante Morris. Catch you guys next week. Y'all have a good time.